This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Let's BOGO. The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That ball's lashed left center field. There is your first home run.
Yeah, the big hit.
I guess that was all it took, huh? You drop the guy one spot in the lineup, you're a genius.
Well, Heston's Hurstad can still hit a home run. We won't celebrate it with fireworks, but Orioles will celebrate it with a couple of runs on the board. Still waiting to see him hit one.
It's good.
Yeah, there you go.
That is going to be way out of here. Hurstad crushes one. Second home run of the homestand. The Orioles third tonight. He struck him out. Felix strikes out the last two on the split. And the Orioles have their first series win of the season.
The highlights courtesy of Masson, Kevin Brown, and Palm. Jim Palmer on the call calling the first two home runs, basically predicting them, Gunner and Heston Kerstedt. Orioles hit three home runs, bullpen, two scoreless innings. We'll get to the Sagano of it all in about 10 minutes. But Orioles win a series, and they won two straight for the first time this year, winning 6-2 last night.
Yeah, how about that? Bone and I both liked that lineup. Now, we'll see if they keep it together a little bit. And I understand they got a lefty coming up, and I don't mean some changes, I guess. But it looked a lot like, frankly, my preferred lineup against right-handed pitching that they gave out in spring training. And it didn't include Tyler O'Neill, not because I knew he'd be hurt, but just because I think he should be a situational player, and these kids should be given a chance to play. Gunner came back too soon, and they threw him into the leadoff spot too soon. That's just a fact. That's just what it was. And it wasn't bringing out the best in him, and he was chasing, and he was a little antsy. And I'll pat myself on the back, like EDC. As soon as we got the lineup, what did I say, Bone? I said, Sed's going to work some counts. Gunnar Henderson's hitting a home run tonight. It might probably be that first at bat. Bada bing, bada boom. Beltway Ben was all over the Sagano part of it again, which we will get to. But yeah, they did their part. It looked like a quality major league product. Two boneheaded situations on the base paths aside.
Yeah.
They made Tanner Bibee work. They seemed pretty stuck in. It was huge to see Heston Kerstad not only be given a chance to play, but have the at-bats he had and get into some poolside power and destroy baseball, because again, as we pointed out yesterday, he was in the top 1% in baseball in launch angle sweet spot. I mean, he was hitting the ball perfectly, basically 56% of the time, which is a ridiculous number, and one that we said lean into and give him the chance to get his 4 or 5 licks in every single night. Hopefully that will continue tonight. We will give you the lineup as soon as it's out. But again, Andrew Abbott, a lefty on the mound, so we'll see. That looked a little bit more like what we saw the first half of last season than most of what we've seen since the middle of last season.
It did, and you bring up the boneheaded base running, and Cedric Mullins, of course, got picked off on first base. He just lost his footing, didn't even get back to the bag at all.
Ramon was a different story.
Oh, that was double up.
Come on, man.
You got Gunner hitting the double, and Kwan
He deked Ramon.
Yeah. Ramon ends up getting gunned out by Hedges at third, but what I loved was the fact that Ryan O'Hearn picked him up.
Oh, yes, he did. Three-run homer.
Hit that three-run homer, and Ryan O'Hearn is off to a hot start, guys. He's hitting .326, .991 OPS.
By the way, just to clarify, because if somebody didn't see the game, they might not have understood that. The Kwan Deke and then Hedges throwing him out of third were two separate plays.
Like the
Kwan Deke kept him on third, and then Hedges,
and then he got picked off third base.
Two bonehead plays inside of like 2 minutes from Ramon Urias.
But if they would have came up empty in that situation,
oh, it would have been a problem.
Huge, huge gut punch. So O'Hearn picking him up on that bomb was massive.
Yeah, O'Hearn hits the big bomb, and you outlined the Kerstad part of it, and Kerstad seems to be very comfortable in the box right now.
I would let him take some hacks against Andrew Abbott tonight. I would not be capitulating to the other team and sending that message to my kids, especially when it's been so dismal and dire from the right-sided posse, the Sanchez, Laureano, O'Neill, the gang that can't shoot straight, the gang that certainly can't hit lefties. So, again, we'll see if the skipper continues to ride this, or more to the point, I guess we'll see what Michael Elias' supercomputer
spits out what he really
wants and hopes to accomplish tonight. I wonder if Jordan Westberg gets a day off here again. I they're saying he's not hurt.
He
doesn't look fully comfortable and healthy to me. Now, tonight against the lefty, I'd think he'd probably play, but like tomorrow against Hunter Green, bringing in there a 102, I might sit Westy tomorrow afternoon.
We're going to get to Sagano in a few minutes, but I do want to ask you your thoughts on Felix Bautista, who came in the ninth inning. Obviously not a save situation, but it took him a little bit to get to a decent velocity, and he had trouble.
I saw some splitters that looked like Felix Bautista.
Yeah, well, I was getting there. And the splitter early did not look right, but then the velocity ticked up, and the splitter looked right at the end.
My biggest takeaway was that was the plus-plus splitter. Now, can he command it and deliver it pretty much, you know, on call like he could before? I don't think we're there yet, but it exists again. Like, that's what's really scared me about him going back to the Grapefruit League stuff, is you really dial in on the StatCast data where it's available. Somehow it's not in Sarasota, whatever. And it did not. You looked at the shape of that pitch. You looked at the spin of the pitch. You looked at the location of the pitch. And it looked to be something that they were picking up out of the hand, and just they weren't offering at it except for when he hung it. And then they were hitting it pretty hard, whether it stayed in the ballpark or not. So my biggest takeaway was that looked like the Higante splitter of old. Now, is it there all the time? Is it there all the time? I don't know. Hopefully we get to that point.
Was that the filthiest you've seen Sir Anthony Dominguez?
Yes. I knew where you were going with Ramirez. Yes.
You don't make Jose Ramirez look bad. He looked bad.
No, that's
bad.
He had some serious spin action going on. That sweeper was going right off the table. He's feeling it.
Yeah. We have a huge Friday show. Guest-wise, it's a Friday. We'll get our best bets with our friend Errol Epstein, the prop queen, and our own Beltway Ben Hall. That's at 3 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, we'll talk NFL draft, which is less than a week away now, with Trevor Sekema from PFF. And we'll preview the Reds and maybe talk some Bengals as well. Joe Dannemann from Fox 19 in Cincinnati joins us at 5.
Yeah, a big show. This Reds team, very interesting team. They don't hit the ball much, but they sure can pitch it. They're talking about a team that's number 3 in the majors in ERA, number 1 in WHIP, number 2 in batting average against, second most pitch efficient pitching staff in baseball. And the kid pitching tomorrow for them, Hunter Green, might be at this very moment the best starting pitcher in baseball. Sandwiched around that, Abbott, a young, crafty lefty, and Lodolo more of a power lefty. So this is going to be an interesting series for the O's. We obviously have more Ravens draft possibilities to get to. We'll also talk about, and Bone and I kind of set the stage for this yesterday with the Derrick Henry conversation. Mm. Van Noy, Henry, Bateman, who are you giving real money to? Who are you goosing some incentives for? Who are you saying, hey, we'll catch you next time? And look, we'll also preview a little bit of Brandon Young, who'll be making his Major League debut tomorrow.
Coming up next, though, Tomoyuki Sugano maybe deserves his own segment. Arguably the Orioles' best start of the young season. What do we see from Sugano? We'll tell you next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's here on the Fan.
Struck him out.
That'll certainly work, won't it?
Tomoyuki Sugano may have just had his welcome to the big leagues moment. Seven strong in his fourth career start.
But he mixed speeds extremely well. Off-speed stuff was commanded well. I thought we played good defense. I thought he stepped on his heater when he needed to. But just pitched really effectively for seven innings. And it's great to see a starter go that deep into the game and keep his pitch count down. Thought it was fantastic.
Here are the highlight, courtesy of Masson, and then you heard Brandon Hyde after the game. He also said that Brandon Hyde at least said this was the guy we saw in spring training, for what that's worth. But Tomoyuki Sugano, he did give up back-to-back homers to the 7 and 8 hitters in the third inning. But 5 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts, 2 earned runs in 7 innings, and only threw 87 pitches.
He was incredibly pitch efficient, which to me, and I don't know, I'm surprised the manager didn't mention it, that to me was the most important thing. He wasn't finding himself in 3-ball counts all over the place, which has been a big problem for him. It's led to walks and hit batters, which is obvious, but I think it's also led to him not trusting his stuff and him ultimately giving in and people hitting the ball really hard. Now, look, he still gave up 9 balls off the bat, 95 miles an hour or higher. He gave up 8 off the bat, 100 or higher, basically. So now the skipper did point out the defense, and they made some plays on some balls that were absolutely scalding. I think it was the 4th inning where all 3 outs were made on balls that were hit 103 or higher. But he didn't walk anybody. And he was able to go 7 because he wasn't in 3 ball counts left and right. He wasn't having to pitch out of jams. Bone gave the numbers yesterday how horrible he was getting the leadoff guy out, keeping him off base. He was able to do that. And I think the more he's able to pitch with clean base paths, the better. I didn't think he was going to have 7 innings in him. But look, this is the kind of lineup that he should be able to manipulate. There's, you know, we talked about it before the series started. They have some dudes who get on base. They've got one guy really in Ramirez who drives them in. And if you throw a meatball to Manzardo, he'll hit it, you know, a mile. But if you don't, he'll probably get himself out. And that's their lineup right now. And he was able to navigate it. And when they hit the ball hard, they mostly hit it at people or they made plays for him. So it was a huge step in the right direction. It should help his confidence. But I would just say again, he's faced 4 teams, right? Because he didn't pitch in the Arizona series.
No.
So he faced
Faced
Toronto twice, who has not hit any home runs this year for whatever reason. He's faced the Royals, who are not a... I mean, that's a 3-man lineup. You get past Pasquatch, it falls off a cliff. And he's faced the Guardians team that... I told you guys, I think the Guardians are a huge candidate for regression. I don't buy their starting pitching like last year, and I definitely don't buy the lineup. So, you know, his biggest challenges are to come. And he needed this, and they needed this, and they've now got 2 straight games where the starting pitcher has been a big part of the reason why they won a game, which that hadn't happened around here much.
That's the biggest thing. It was the first time they've won a series, first time they've won back-to-back games, and first time all year where they've had back-to-back really good starts out of their starting pitchers. And, guys, you could almost... tell in that first batter him striking out Stephen
look dumb. How about that? That was some stuff.
That kind of set the tone for this. And Jason, I'm with you. The 9 hard hit balls and Cedric Mullins, he was making a lot of plays look routine. Gunner had that great play where he smothered the ball and gunned out someone at first. But that is what Tomo Sugano needs in order to be effective. And we gave out that stat yesterday, the splits. I think it was .467 was the on-base percentage for batters leading off to start the inning. He got the leadoff batter out in 5 of the 7 innings that he pitched. So getting out number 1 and setting yourself up for success the rest of the inning.
Couple things. For me personally, I'm not going to couch it because that was the best Orioles start of the season.
Like, for sure.
He's now through 4 starts, got an ERA under 3.5. Has he been great?
Peep the fifth.
It's fine. We'll see as it goes on, but I thought he was really good last night, and also baseball's hard. So Wednesday night, the Orioles were hitting the crap out of the ball early, and they were hitting it right to people. That's why not everybody hits .500. Like, the reason why the best hitters get out at 7 out of every 10 times, because sometimes you hit it hard, but you hit it at somebody. So I'm going to give him credit for what I saw last night, which was an outing where he seemed, other than the back-to-back home runs, he kept guys off balance.
And him rebounding after that, because after 14 of 17, I think, is what he retired after the back-to-back home run. So he responded really well.
Look, they showed faith in him, let him go out there for the 7th inning, and he rewarded it. I don't know that even given the state of the bullpen, and they've already thrown a lot of innings and yada, 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 I would have probably, given how rough it's been previously, called that 6-inning outing a win. They said, no, he hasn't thrown that many pitches, which he hasn't. And they let him go back out there, and he rewarded them for that. So we'll see. It should be a confidence builder.
If it's 4-2, he might not have gone out for the 7.
Look, he gets to face the Nats next.
Yeah.
They're not hitting the ball a lick. They had about a 3-game stretch where they killed the ball. And every other series...
That Wood kid is hitting some home runs.
He is. It's a 1-man lineup right now. They're striking out a ton. They're looking overmatched. So that's another one where, okay, like, he should take confidence into that. I'll be real interested to see what he does. But I'm just telling you, the level of competition and the quality of hitter he's going to face will skyrocket.
And we got to shout out Ben again because he called
Ben
it.
Yeah, by the way, Ben,
six innings, the group three earned runs.
But Jason, something you like to always say, they all count. And
I'm not taking away from what he did. It was a big step forward. Yeah. Let's see if he can have two decent starts in a row. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of underlying metrics in there that are telling me I think he's going to struggle to be even a league average starting pitcher.
Beltway Ben, you're a Sagano guy. Is it fair to call Beltway Ben a Sagano truther?
Yes.
I think so.
He admitted it as well.
What did you think of last night?
I thought he was incredible. I mean, I talked about that with them yesterday. The splitter being a non-competitive pitch and just giving guys on, it was not that yesterday. And there were a few of the balls that were hit hard, like the one Nolan Jones hit. He reaches and hits it out of the other batter's box, and it's hard off the bat, but it's a regular lineup second base. He was very good. And he was... All game long, he just did not look like... The other games, the nerves were getting to him.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like... I'm not trying to be funny. He was, like, the first few games, he's adjusting his pants every pitch. He's on the mound, like, trying to get right. Yesterday, he looked very confident.
Coming up next on the program, we are going to switch to Ravens. By the way, we'll get our best bets with our own Beltway Ben and Ariel Epstein coming up at 3. But Ravens, and not talking about big extensions like Lamar, Hamilton, etc., but who's going to get some new money before maybe we get to OTAs, before the start of the season at least? Is it Kyle Van Noy? Is it Rashad Bateman? Is it Derrick Henry? Is it somebody behind door number 4? We'll discuss.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Next, here on The Fan.
And I've already moved on. I've started watching tape. I'm immersed in college and pro scouting right now and talking about contracts and negotiations and different things. And that's one, I think for me, that's one of the blessings of my job is it's very seasonal. And I'm in now one of my most favorite seasons, which is the off season, which is not, it's a misnomer because it's my busiest time of the year. But I love being a part of the solution, and that's what we'll be.
So that was Eric DaCosta at the end of season press conference talking about his favorite time of year, the offseason. And now we're 6 days away from the start of the NFL draft. And the Ravens haven't, they gave Marlon Humphrey a bit of an extension. But beyond that, there's really been nothing else that they've done significant. And let's table the Kyle Hamiltons and Lamar Jacksons for a second.
Linderbaum,
yes. But guys that we think, or we think we know, like Kyle Van Noy's kind of put it out there that he's not fired up about showing up the way the contract's currently structured. Rashad Bateman has been putting stuff on social media. He signed a very team-friendly deal a year ago, like maybe I need some more cash. And then, of course, a possible short-term extension for Derrick Henry. What do you think is possible as far as these guys
are concerned? It's interesting to cluster them together because they all just – it's within a calendar year or 13 months or so that they all just did these deals. Mm-hmm. So it's not like somebody's outperformed their contract over the first 3 years of the deal and now it's time to restructure. These guys, they all could have had other options. Henry was an unrestricted free agent. Van Noy was an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
And Bateman, if he didn't agree to the monster haircut, would have been cut to become an unrestricted free agent. So, and then they all had great years. I mean, career years for all three.
One second. Didn't Bateman, though, there was like some sort of thing where he missed a day because
the year
so
they
screwed himself out of it. So yes.
The year told.
Yes. Yeah. So he didn't have as much leverage.
Yes.
He had no leverage.
Right. But he obviously just agreed to this. I don't know that they're going to give all these guys what they would now want, or in some cases, maybe not even close to it. For me personally, the more I've thought about this, like Bateman is the only one with real upside in terms of age. Like Bateman could have 5-6 real productive NFL seasons still in him. So that puts him in a different category. All that they went through with him, right? There's more of a backstory with him than anybody else. He's obviously one of their former first-round picks, and those guys haven't really been sticking around. Mm-hmm. And a lot of, right? Queen, no. Hollywood, no. Linderbaum, I don't know. Owe, one more year, right? Maybe. So I think there's an inherent value in getting him now before he stacks a couple of big seasons together, getting him now before Zay, and the offense is the strength of this team, and I'm prioritizing that. And then number two for me is Van Noy, because if he's not over, like I'm not, I don't think he's the end all be all. I think he is in many ways a product of their scheme, but I also think he has a very unique profile in that entire defensive room. Like these aren't the days of 3, 4, and 5 veterans. Like the veterans are Marlon, who we know is a different cat, and he's in the back, he's in the secondary. You know, up front, you tell me. Pierce is gone. Yep. If Van Noy doesn't show up in the spring,
Urban's
and you're
probably
dealing
gone
with that, right? Like, and even Urban, like, I mean, Van Noy's been to Super Bowls. Van Noy's won some stuff. Mm. Van Noy's played for Belichick. Like, Van Noy knows what it's like to be at the end of his career playing for a bargain. Van Noy also knows what it's like to have four teams bidding for him as an unrestricted free agent, like when Patricia bought him to Detroit, right? For real money. So he's lived in the league. He's done some stuff. And he's the only veteran in their front seven right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the defense doesn't have enough talent for our liking to win a Super Bowl. The other guy was just on the market with all these other running backs, and it was what it was. And I just 3,000 career yard total
carries.
3,000 career carries.
Yeah,
and that heavy workload last year plus the playoffs, and he's
a unicorn.
Lamar helps him. He is. But The unicorn just had a chance to talk to all 32 teams, and this was the best he could do, and this was the best for him. So I will give that unicorn some extra grass to graze on if he produces, and I will spike his incentives. But I'm not touching the core of that contract, and I'm not adding years to that contract. Whereas for Bateman, I absolutely will, and I'd be more inclined to do it for Van Noy right now than I would for Derrick Henry.
Bateman's the easy one out of the three because of what you said, Jason, the age.
He's the easy choice. I don't know about the easy contract.
Yes, the easy choice because of his age. And I think even after last year, you could still buy low, relatively speaking, in terms of money that is given out to wide receivers. He didn't have 1,000 yards. He did have a lot of touchdowns, but Zay's coming up, and are you going to be able to afford both of those guys? So I think to get that security, I would definitely approach Rashad Bateman. Now, when it comes to the other two, we got into it yesterday. I'm willing to give Henry a year, maybe two.
I would tack on a year.
But I would definitely tack on a year when it comes to Derrick Henry. In terms of Van Noy, he's really interesting, and I think I would have a much different answer a week from now or 10 days from now when the draft is over. What do they come out of this draft with? Do they get a premium draft pick at edge? Because they don't have long-term security at
even
that
if
position.
They do, yeah. He's Jason, still their yeah. He goes into the season their best sure. edge defender.
Absolutely.
And I'll believe he shows up with the contract as is when I see it. Like, no. I don't think he's showing up with the contract as it is.
I don't either.
But he's also 34 years old. He's older than Derrick Henry. And I think we were all very surprised that he was able to follow up the 9-sack season with the 12.5 sack season. So.
And he did it without Clowney. I mean, we can say whatever we want to say, but absolutely. The idea that Clowney made him went out the door when he had a better season without Clowney than he had with him.
He was fantastic. He was fantastic. But probably the same with him. Give him a year. I'd tack on a year to make him happy. But,
yeah, but you give him some
35.
Real money. Yeah,
yeah. You give him the signing bonus, the upfront money. But he'll be 35 at that point.
Yeah, I mean, Again, if I'm ranking him, that's how I'm ranking him. Like, the other guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer who could talk to all 32 teams for as long as he wanted to. He didn't have to do the deal when he did it. He didn't have to do the deal here. He could have waited till somebody got hurt in training camp. Like,
I just think it's a much different perspective, though. He was coming off a year where everyone thought he was washed. If he was hitting the market this year, I think it's a much
different...
Then
I go back to what I told you a year ago. Yeah, why did he do a multi-year deal?
And that's on the agent. Or
I would have never done a multi-year deal.
Jason, and this is not Henry-centric, but I am curious. Do you think that the opinion about running backs and their value is maybe shifting a little bit? Because we're going to see some guys drafted in the first round this year. Like,
I still think it's only going to be two. Yeah. And they could be fairly special, and I think part of the reason they're going to go is that some of these other position groups are not nearly as strong as they've been in some other years. I think it's changing, but I don't think it's changing for 30 plus year old running backs.
I
just don't. And I think DaCosta, in his own way, was kind of saying that when he filibustered and then started talking about Adarius Washington.
Yeah, it was something.
They still have not announced him agreeing yet, which they're confident he will.
Well, today's the deadline.
Yeah.
If he doesn't sign an offer sheet, he's under the Ravens' control.
So, Adarius Washington expected to be a Raven next year, but nothing announced just yet. But coming up next, we stick with the Ravens, and punt return was a disaster a year ago. During the draft luncheon, John and Eric both discussed getting getting some certainty, some
competency,
less toxicity at the return position. The importance of that we'll tell you next here on The Fan.
It'd be nice.
I am.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. I mean, I think we've done a good job sizing that up, and I think, you know, again, Chris Horton does an awesome job. I mean, our scouts evaluate, but it's based on the area that they scout or the position maybe that they scout. Chris really does a great job of taking all the returners and ranking the returners from first to worst. And so that's a big part of it. I think we have some guys that can do it. So we've got a floor, but we want a high ceiling. That's what we want, and we're going to try to find that guy.
Eric DaCosta at the Liars Luncheon talking about the punt return situation from worst to first.
Give me the worst guy. Bone knows what I was thinking before I even said it. Give me the worst guy and coach him up.
They had four guys return punts this past season. Deontay Hardy, Steven Sims, Desmond King, and Tylan Wallace.
Who was the worst at it, you think?
I think I would go Desmond King.
See, I would go Desmond King, too, because he was good at it once. He's a veteran, and then he immediately was spitting the ball up against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he had the longest punt return of the year, 22 yards, but he also was fumbling it all over the damn place, and they couldn't let him do it anymore.
I actually thought he was going to be good at it. Yeah. He fumbled on that long punt return.
Yes.
And it was against
Fumbled forward. Yeah.
That picked it up around midfield.
It was a net positive.
Yeah, yeah. It was planned that way. So, sorry about that.
Nice bun nut.
Hey, they gained like another.
Come straight from another job.
Yeah, they.
That's why I don't look like a bum.
They got another 10 yards on the fumble. So 20.
Maybe they should. Maybe that'll be his legacy. They built that into the playbook.
So we assume none of these guys will be their returner this year. Yeah,
it's like upside.
How blast from the past. How important is it they get a real punt return?
I think it's important. And like whoever this is, like I believe it needs to be in the way we talked about the potential for like a Milroe pick as a premium sort of thing. Like I don't want this to be like, oh yeah, and we also think like, well, this guy has some return in him, but we think over time he's going to be like a really good slot receiver. No, I want somebody who you think is not the worst returner. I was being facetious. I don't want the like. I want you to put a premium on getting one of the top two immediate day one plug and play return guys. I don't care if they're a running back. I don't care if they're a receiver. I don't care if they're a corner. I don't care if you ever think they're going to play in your base offense or your base defense. I don't care. Like, this needs to be addressed pronto. It needs to not be a revolving door ship of fools next year.
A revolving door ship of fools.
I get what he's saying.
Yeah. No, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Four different players return punts. Five different players return kick returns. So if they could have more of a primary guy for both, that's very...
I'm not as worried about kick returns, though, Bone, because they've kind of legislated it away. I'm okay with Keaton Mitchell just sitting back there.
Yeah, that's fair as well. But whether it's the draft or someone on the street right now, you got to bring in someone with return ability. And they thought that was going to be the case with Deontay Hardy, and that ended up blowing up in their face because he just wasn't healthy at all, and it was a completely lost season. And even when he was healthy, it wasn't all that good. So, yes, it's a big priority, and you saw John Harbaugh light up when I asked the question. He was, I do. I want a returner. And
it's a top five need on this football team.
Yeah. It also shows you how good this football team is that is one of the needs. But it is. Yes. It's enormous. They're like, it was because, like, was it Sims in the playoff game where he couldn't feel it? Like, they basically, well, at the first half,
look,
they couldn't
get away
from
the ball.
Look,
let's take it a step further. If we're talking about this team getting better and getting over the hump in the playoffs and getting to or winning a Super Bowl, I don't want to be sitting here next January and they've got the second worst special teams EPA in the NFL again. Like that, like, so this is sort of, for me, the tip of the spear. Like, yes, this is its own problem. This is something that needs to be resolved personnel-wise. But I also think coaching-wise, schematic-wise, teaching-wise, those units as a whole, return and kick, not just the kick returner, not just the gunner, not just an individual, their collective productivity and consistency. And the stupid penalties, right? We talk about low IQ baseball with the Orioles and where that manifests itself on the base pass. We saw a lot of low IQ football from their special teams units. That stuff needs to be nipped in the bud. Like, teams that are that bad at special teams don't win a lot of Super Bowls.
It's across the board. Justin Tucker was the worst kicker in football last year. Jordan Stout needs to be a heck of a lot more consistent. And then you get to the coverage units as well, where you mentioned the penalties, and we're talking about the returner. It was across the board for a unit that routinely ranks among the top in football. They were among the worst.
Well, and again, we can talk about 11 picks and how many make the team. Well, I got news for you. If you draft a guy who you fully expect to go into the season as your primary return guy, he's making the team. If you draft a guy to replace Justin Tucker because you're going to stop hiding behind the shield and just do the right thing and move on from him, then guess what? Like, that guy's got a really good chance to make your team. Like,
So do you draft a guy with returns in his toolkit, or you go the on the street route like they did a year ago with Hardy and it flamed out?
Well, it's enough of a priority for me that if they haven't done it now, then they either didn't like those guys or thought there were better options in the draft. Like, I mean, it's definitely a priority for Harps.
Yeah, and multiple times.
Like, that's obvious. So they clearly can walk and chew gum at the same time, and they saw the free agent class, and they've already scouted the kids going in. The coaches at that point in time wouldn't have fully scouted them, but the football operations department would have. I assume it's something they're going to address within their first five picks.
Breaking news, the lineup is out, and it's interesting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't interrupt Ravens talk, but with a lefty on the mound, Adley Rutschman's leading off at DH. Gunnar Henderson's batting second at shortstop. Tyler O'Neill back in the lineup in right field batting third. Ryan Mountcastle's the first baseman batting fourth. Cedric Mullins in center field batting fifth. Jordan Westbrook batting sixth at third base. Gary Sanchez, the catcher, batting seventh. Heston Kerstad in left field batting eighth. And Jorge Mateo's your second baseman batting ninth.
Yeah, if he and Jackson Holliday were both out of this lineup, then, you know, again, I think you would have really seen people with their head in their sand, in the sand, who would not let anything happening in the real world interfere with their projections and their prognostications and their penciling out of what should be happening, what deserves to be happening in the real world. So, yeah, I'm glad they stuck with Heston. And I would assume with a power righty, maybe the best power righty in Major League Baseball coming up on Saturday, that Heston hits velo. And I would think Heston definitely plays Saturday. And if these two go well, then let him stay in there for Lodolo on Sunday.
I also think we're seeing, granted, it's only two games now, I think Gunnar's going to be in the two hole for a little while, because even he talked after yesterday kind of liking it, being able to take that breath before getting in the batter's box.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure they were thinking about Westy in the leadoff spot, and that I understand why they're not doing that. I mean, Adley's interesting. He did have a nice on-base streak, and he does work some counts, but he's not going to give you much when he gets on base in terms of putting pressure on the pitcher or, you know, going first to third or whatever.
He's also somebody posted his what is that, with the red chart and all. Like, he's hitting the ball hard, but he's not had good luck lately.
Yeah. I mean, the OPS is down under 700.
Yeah.
It is what it is. He's like 50 points higher than Jackson Holliday now. So, again, it is what it is. Batting him leadoff might bring out the best in him. Somebody's got to do it. And, look, we wanted him. I wanted to go get Willie Adames and let him bat leadoff and let him play shortstop and put Gunnar at third and make your team better. They didn't want to do that.
I wanted
that.
To take Carmen Electra, you know. So...
Well, they could have had Willie Adames.
Oh, they could, but they're not giving out multi-year deals.
Ken could have dated Carmen Electra.
We had about the same shot.
Yeah.
But not really. But,
yeah, so since they won't spend money.
But they could. I mean,
the
owner could have listened to the show and been like, hey, I like this Willie Adames guy.
Yeah, but they got bobblehead tomorrow.
I'll break my jihad against this team.
Coconut.
When you fire the GM or you put out the coconut and Jackson Holliday bobble.
Yeah.
I'll take the kids
for that. Yeah. The dog.
I don't want to tell them how to run their team, but Coconut needs a bobblehead before the billionaire.
But who says no to that? Like, that seems like a layup for them.
Coconut bobblehead?
Yeah.
By the way, he hasn't pulled a base hit yet this year. Thanks to Kevin Brown on the broadcast last night for mentioning that. All of Jackson Holliday's hits are away.
I also said they should let Coconut and the dogs of the other teams roam in that area where they just bastardized and killed the stadium, that dead space there.
They
should let some of the dogs, and then also have Barks dogs come in that are up for adoption and turn that into a dog park.
I'd be scared of the dogs.
You could put a net up. You could always put a net up for those games.
That's true. Put the net up. I like it.
Or, like I said, CNL. Put them to use and have them out there protecting
the
dogs.
Yeah, let CNL just
let them roam.
I don't want them in the games.
He's the roamer.
Yeah.
We could, Hyder, here's the thing. You can either put CNL Perez in the game or leave him out there protecting the dogs. I think he's doing a pretty good job protecting the dogs.
I'm with you. Yeah, with the hat catching balls.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I'm 1,000% with you on that. Hey, coming up next, it's a Friday. And what's a Friday without our best bets with our friend, the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, and our own Beltway Ben Hall? That's next here on The Fan.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. MIDI can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.